Do you ever get into sales conversations that just seem to not go where you want them to go? It takes longer to get to yes than you would like, and you're just not sure about why people are not seeing the value of what you offer and hopping on as a client faster than what they are. Well, today, we're going to go under the covers of how your customer's mind works when they're making a buying decision. It's an important thing for you to understand, and you're going to get two really important factors out of this that I think will really move your sales conversations to a yes much faster than they have in the past. So join us today for the Unstoppable Women in Business podcast. We've got some really good stuff for you. Hi, I'm Susan Trumpler, and I am obsessed with helping small business owners, coaches, and consultants find their way to consistent revenue. Everyone I work with has a passion to use their talents to serve others. They just want to make an impact, yet they find themselves so often just running after business. Let's change that. Join us on Unstoppable Women in Business, where each episode we talk about how to create consistent revenue, make more money, and make more impact, all at the same time. All right. We've all been there, right? We've all been in sales conversations where we know for certain we can help the person we're talking to, but they don't see it. You've done your best. You've understood the problem they have, and you've tried to get them to move into doing business with you, but you're getting objections. You're getting a, I need to think about it. Or you might be getting, I love this. I'm definitely going to think about this and get back with you next week, next month, right? So what is holding someone back from saying yes to you when you've got something that can make a difference in their world? Yeah, it's frustrating. And today I want to share with you the 6-step decision process that someone's mind goes through every time they make a buying decision. Every time, yours included. And I think that's what's fun about this topic is as I talk with you about the process that someone goes through to make a buying decision, you can actually be thinking about the last time you made a buying decision about something. And it should be something bigger than a loaf of bread, right? Something that you had to really like, ooh, yeah, that's an investment. Yeah, I'm gonna have to think about this, right? So you can track what was going on in your mind as you made that buying decision, and also think about the last conversations that you've been in with a client or a prospective client where you have been trying to get them to agree to become a client of yours, all right? So the 6-step process is based on neuro-linguistic programming. All right, NLP. Some of you have heard of it, some of you haven't. So let me just go really quickly into NLP and the foundation of what I'm talking about here so this will all make sense to you. Neuro-linguistic programming is about how your brain processes information. And to an extent, it's at a subconscious level. There's your thinking brain, the one that processes information and uses logic to come to conclusions. And that brain serves us well. But if you've ever heard the phrase, that people buy on emotion and justify with logic, there's nothing that's truer than that statement. So what we're talking about is the subconscious brain that is making the buying decision before it becomes a logical decision, the one that wants it. There's emotion involved in it. And so today in this process that we're going to be talking about, we're really talking about what's happening below the surface that rises to the top and actually becomes a decision, all right? So the first step in the buying decision process is answering this question. Do I want what you have? All right, now that's an easy one. Low bar, do I want it? Most people who are in conversation with you do have a certain degree of want. Let me put this in pedestrian terms, like something that we would buy. So have you ever bought a house or a car or even an expensive purse or something that you really like, you'd love to have? That's the want. I call it the drool factor, right? You want something, you look at it and you think, I really would like that. Why? What gives us the want factor? There is something about that purchase that does something for us from a safety standpoint, believe it or not. It's really about your survival. And I'm just going to go into this super quick. Your survival is what your subconscious or your primitive brain is all about. Am I going to be safe Will I be in community? Those are the two biggest decisions that your subconscious brain has to make for you. It's first safety. Will this keep me alive? That's the bottom line. Is this going to keep me alive? But community is about I am safer in a community where others see me, respect me, and want me to be part of that community. Because being out on my own is not safe. It's safer in a community. All right, so how does this go back to, I want that purse, or I want that really good-looking car because I would look so good in that car? Here's the thing. Part of being in a community is being, again, respected and envied. And so a lot of our buying decisions do come from that place of, will this be something that someone will admire me for? Or will this decision be something that is not going to be good for me? That people will look at me, aka partners, aka my public, anyone who has any opinion about me, if I do this, will they think less of me? That is not safe. And so a buying decision has that little bit of factor to it. Am I safe? Will this help me? Will this hurt me? Will this make me part of a community, a bigger respect level within that community? And if I can't say that I want this enough to take that risk, then I'm not going to do it. So you think want is easy. You think want is easy, but this is what's going on in the back of someone's mind when they are thinking about whether or not they want to do business with you, if they want the program, if they want to solve the problem that your product or program will actually solve for them. All right, so there's a little bit of an undercurrent that's happening that quite often we do not address. We stay on the surface. We think because they show up on a call that they want what we have. And that's just the first step, right? So we really want to think about want. And I'm going to couple it together with step number two, and then we're going to talk about what you can do in helping people really create closure on the first two steps in the decision process. So the second step, after they decide they want it, is do I need it? Oh, and there's a big difference between want and needs. You guys know that yourself. You've made many, many a decision to buy something. You want it, but the next thing your mind is going through is, do I really need this? Do I need it more than I don't need it? And that's the tricky part here, guys. That's the tricky part. Because people want something, but if they don't need it enough, it will stall a decision every single time. And I think that we as people who engage in sales conversations sometimes rush through this piece of work because we get, and I used to call it this when I had a sales team, we get happy ears. We hear someone say to us, oh, I saw your program, XYZ program. I saw that. And I think I need that. I think I need that. So we're like, yeah, let me tell you all about it. Let me tell you how cool this program is and what the results you'll get for it. That's beautiful. You've been taught well. However, you're not deep enough. If you're not getting a yes at the end of a conversation, back up to this level of work that you're doing with someone and really ask yourself, are they emotionally connected to the why they want and need what you're selling? Emotionally connected, not logically connected, emotionally connected. And the emotional connection comes from questions that you ask them before you start going into talking about what the program will do for you. So let me pause there for just a quick second and go back into what I just said about questions. I believe that the more skilled you get at asking deeper level questions, the more you will be able to move someone into a buying decision with you that fits, that works for them, and they are your best client. So instead of just asking the standard level questions that we have, can you go another layer deeper, then another layer deeper with additional questions that will take your buyer on a journey down to the true depth of why they need what it is you're offering? Because down there, there is such a deep-seated need for what you have. But if you don't take them to that level, then you're up here at the logical, yeah, I think I like what I hear and I think I want that. And then you throw the price out there and they're like, oh my gosh, oh, I had no idea, right? So these are things that you want to consider before you even go to the next steps in the decision-making process with someone. You've got to really spend time in the do I want it, do I need it part of the decision-making process. All right, once you go through there, steps 3 and 4, and even 5, are about a very specific gate that you have to take your people over in order for them to say yes to you. So let's talk about 3. Once someone decides that they do want and need to solve the problem that you've been uncovering and talking about, the very next thing that's going to go through their mind in step 3 is, what are my choices? Yeah, it's kind of a bummer because you're actually doing the work to educate them on how much they need what it is that you offer. But naturally, the brain is going to go to a place, well, if I'm going to solve this, I've got to do it with the best choice. I've got to find the place or the way to do this that is the safest for me. Yeah, it's again, it all comes back to that subconscious level of being safe. When you think about what are my choices, what does that bring up? Competition, right? Ooh, are there other programs out there? Are there other people who offer things that you're offering? And unless you're in one of those very, very, very small niches, there is competition. And there's a lot of noise out in the marketplace. So you have to think about, if you are going to be the person that they choose to solve this problem with, how are you going to create differentiation? How are you going to, in essence, be able to elevate yourself beyond someone else, another choice that they have to solve the problem? So one of the things that you have to do is really make a concerted effort to be the expert, to own this niche, to own what you do in a way that people have confidence. Because it is true, people will buy from people that they like and they trust. All right. So before we talk about how you can do this, I'm going to cover steps 4 and 5. So what are my choices is step number 3 in the decision-making process. Step 4 is, if I have choices, what are the differences in the choices that I have? And step number 5 is, do those choices matter? All right, so that's why I bring these 3 steps together, because not only do you have to become very masterful at showing your uniqueness to people, you have to do it in a way that matters to them. I believe a lot of times we will get stalled deals, we'll get people who cannot move forward with us because we have not been able to clearly identify the fact that we are the experts, that we've done this before, and we not only can teach them how to do it, we can show them exactly how to do it in a way that they feel safe. Safety, if there's a word that comes out of this podcast and you were to put this up on your mirror and look at it in the morning or on your computer monitor, it is the word safety. You have to help people feel safe in making the investment that they're going to make with you, that they know that the problem is severe enough that they're willing to take action on it, and that you're the person who can get them from where they are now to where they want to be as safe as possible. You've got a step-by-step process, and that you've done this before, and that you know exactly what it is that will work for them personally. All right, I'm going to pause there for a second. I'm a huge believer in customized solutions in a way that helps people see that they are not going to be left flailing on their own. All right, I know that from a scaling standpoint, that can be challenging. But you've got different ways to talk about this so that people know that if they make a choice to solve the problem that they have and they're going to do it with you, they will have someone to hold their hand proverbially, hold their hand every step of the way. There's so many ways that you can describe this when you are working with someone and explaining to them what your programs and your services look like, that give them that sense that it is safe to move from where they are to get to where they want to be with you, better than anyone else, better than any other option that they have. And I do have to just put this one little zing in here. One of the options that your people have is to do nothing. Believe it or not, some of your biggest competition is what I call status quo. Because if someone doesn't feel safe in moving forward, they won't take action. They will just keep living in the problem that they have without taking any action at all. And so you can look at statistics and see that about 60% of buying decisions end in no action at all. So who's your biggest competition? It's actually status quo. It's doing nothing. It's not taking action. And solving this particular problem is easier than you think it is, because you don't have to worry about other people and what they're doing and how they're doing it and whether or not they're better than you are at it. What you have to do is look inward and say, how can I communicate to this person who's in front of me a very clear possibility of solving the problem in a way that they see it happening in a safe and controlled manner? That's it. That's step 3, 4, and 5 is all about you creating the safety by uniquely being the thought leader and the expert that they're looking for. All right, we're at step 6 already. And step 1 and 2 bundled together is telling you that you really have to learn how to uncover the problem at an emotional level. Step 3, 4, and 5 is then how can you make people feel safe by differentiating yourself from the competition and from status quo. If you can get through those 5 steps, you guys, step 6 is actually the easiest. And I hope you've noticed that we have not talked about price at all, not once. But that's step 6. It's called price justification. Here's the thing. We all worry about our pricing. Oh my gosh, is my offer too high? Is it too low? Will they buy it? Can they afford it? And I'm here to tell you that if you do a really good job in the first 5 steps of this decision-making process, step 6 is a non-event. When you get someone to the point where they are so excited about having their problem solved in a way that feels extraordinarily safe, they will pay you. I won't say they'll pay you anything, but when you tell them your price, they'll be saying, that's good, let's go, I'm ready, okay? Before you talk about price, I want you to get your people to that place mentally where they're just like, tell me how much it is, let's go, we gotta get started, I don't want to live here anymore. Here's the funny thing. I get asked this question all of the time. Should I put my pricing out on my website? Should I tell people how much my offers are? And while there is no right answer, this is not a black or white answer. I just want to help you understand that I lean towards not publishing pricing for high ticket offers. I lean towards that because you have not helped them understand yet whether or not they want it and whether or not you're the offer they should have. You're literally just putting it out there with absolutely no context to it at all. So I lean towards that. In certain circumstances, it's the right thing to do. But for most parts, you're not going to publish your prices because you want to work people through the decision-making process before you get to the point where you're saying, okay, let's get started. This is how it's going to work, and this is the investment that you'll be making to work through this process to get rid of that problem. It is such an easy transition when you've done your work in the beginning part of the conversation to get them to this point. Alrighty, so here's the thing. I've got something to help you with all of these steps that we talked about today. It's called Getting to Yes Faster. I think it's a resource that would be very helpful for you to register for and work through. It's just a little video series. It takes about an hour. It has some worksheets with it, but it will definitely help you work through why they want to solve the problem, why they would want to solve it with you as their leader or guide, and why they need to do it right now and not delay. All right. So check that out. I would love to hear your thoughts on this podcast. It is a really important part of having quality sales conversations. Everyone can learn to do better. I know I'm a master of sales conversations, and I can always learn to do better. All right, take a look at that. Getting to Yes Faster, gtyfaster.com, and let me know what you think. It's always good to spend time with you all. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you again soon. Okay, well, I hope you found that to be very useful. And if you did, can I ask you a favor? Would you mind popping in a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you enjoy listening on? It really does help people find the podcast easier and have access to this information as well. I'd love to get to know you more. If there's anything I can do to support you, it would be fun to just explore around and see what that might be. Check out my website at unstoppablewomeninbusiness.com. Until then, have a great day and talk soon.